Okay, baby. Y'all ready for this? Let's go. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to yo absolutely favorite podcast. Welcome back to Riffin' with Griffin. We got another one and another one. Not a lot going on this week, but I saw some craziness. The Met Gala. I don't even know what that shit is for. So I was like, hey, you know what? Let's talk about that. I saw the Magic documentary. Haven't finished it, but it's pretty interesting, fascinating. Want to talk about that. And one of the favorite segments of the podcast, Real World Advice. From a grown ass man. So welcome back to Riffin' with Griffin. Anyways, what's up, y'all? Whoo, how you guys doing? First off, let's start off with some business. Thank you for subscribing. Make sure you subscribe, you know. And I'm also on Twitch. You can check me out on Twitch daily, most days, Twitch. And once again, thank you for subscribing and sharing and doing all that great stuff. All right. And a sponsor of the show, today's episode is brought to you by Helix Sleep. So big shout out to Helix Sleep. Take their 2-minute sleep quiz and they'll match you to the mattress that will give you the best sleep of your life. Find your perfect mattress at helixsleep.com/griffin. All right, y'all, what's up? How you doing? We back at it. Back in Riffin' with Griffin Studios, making shit happen. Let's see what's going on. Man, it's starting to heat up, man. It's like certain number of days till the wedding. So we had to get confirmations, and it's like it was supposed to be only 75 people. Now it's like almost 100. Which is crazy. My friends are showing up, which is really, you know, fantastic. I'm from LA, so a lot of people I know are here. You know, it's just hard to determine like who you want to invite to the wedding too. I mean, there's a lot of people out there, comic friends and just people I've known, even like extended family who I didn't even invite. Not because I didn't want them there. It's just like it is what it is. You know what I mean? I don't know if anybody else out there is planning weddings and you want people to come. You know what I mean? But it's like, I can't invite. It's like with my comic friends too. Like every time I go to the comedy club, I'll see a new comic and I'll be like, oh man, I should have invited you. But it's like, you know, whatever. Now I get it. I actually get it. I've actually talked about this before in the past, how like, oh, a person I thought that was my friend didn't invite me to his wedding. And now I understand. You know what I mean? So apologies to those people who I like put out into the ether, like, hey, how come I guess we're not friends? I realize now that that's not what it is. It's just you have a certain number, and if you don't, you know what I mean? And it's like, we're not like filthy rich, so it's like her parents are paying for it, and it's like it's on a weird day, and it's like, you know what, I'm excited about it. I wish I could show you this video. Rachel came in here and like, we have to practice our kiss. And she wants to do 2 kisses, and then we have these like, you know, Rachel's Jewish, so there's like she wants to do, and her family, I'm sure her grandma and her mom want her to do like a few of the Jewish traditions, like breaking the glass or like whatever. I don't even know all of them. Obviously, I'm not Jewish, but you know, I don't care. You know, tradition is tradition. It's, you know, a wedding is a thing some people dream about their whole life, you know, especially some women. You know what I mean? I'm sure there's guys out there too that dream about their wedding, but you know, so it's like it is what it is. So I don't know. You know what I mean? So here I am trying to figure out like all this stuff. So it's like this, all these last minute planning. I don't even have a suit yet. We still got to go do the cake. even though we have it scheduled, we got to go do cake tasting and make sure this is the cake that she wants. I don't even have a ring. Like, I have to get, like, I don't even know what kind of ring I want to get. I almost want to get a rubber ring because I'm not used to wearing any kind of jewelry. So that is, like, going to be, like, weird, you know? So I have to figure out that, you know, it is what it is. I mean, I wish it was like, I wish it worked like a television show where I didn't have to do any planning. I just memorize my lines and I show up. You know what I mean? That would be great. But, you know, with a wedding, you have to, you know, you're doing all the planning. And then all these little logistics, too. Like, where are you going to, like, where are you staying? Like, I don't want to see her before. So do we, like, stay at separate hotels until the wedding night? Or, like, I just, it's so much. I can see how it could drive people crazy. And so, like, it becomes, like, are you doing the wedding for you and your spouse, or are you doing the wedding for the people that are coming and the family? It's like so bizarre. And then everybody's coming from out of town. Like most of her family's coming from out of town. And then all my friends live in town. And then it's like, her and I are fighting over like, well, who can bring a significant other and who can't, and all that stuff. And thanks for the super chats, y'all. You know, and then it's like, we're not having like a traditional, We're not having like a traditional like ceremony where it's like I have a bunch of groomsmen and she has a bunch of bridesmaids. We actually have it real simple. I have one person, she got one person, you know. So whatever, it's our wedding. We could do whatever the hell we want. Why you even have to follow these crazy traditions in the first place? It's like beyond me. But I don't know. So I'm, you know, you guys out there in chat, if you had like any kind of unconventional thing at your wedding, or what kind of things did you do at your wedding that say you wouldn't normally see at a wedding, I'd love to see that in the comments. That would be interesting to see what people have to say. But like I say, I'm actually really excited about it. I guess I'm more excited too, just to get it over with so we could just live the life that we're already living. You know what I mean? But I guess like when you sign the papers and, you know, and you do all the things that you have to do to make it official, I guess there's some anxiety and some like things about that. But, you know, I've dealt with whatever in my life. So it's like, let's get it done. You know what I mean? So we can like get busy living. Right. So, and then like, you know, people ask about, oh, and thank you, Jagdeep. And by the way, this is live. Thanks for the super chat. Thanks. You know, am I making a speech? Oh yeah, probably, you know, my vows to her. And then I'll obviously make a speech to everybody who came, and that's, you know, all the nice people that are there. So if you want a super chat, I appreciate it. You want to support the show, make sure we also remember that we also have Patreon, which, trust me, content is coming for that. More content is coming for that, but I have some stuff up there already if you want to take a look at that. But if you want to be a part of the Patreon, it's Eric Griffin. It's patreon.com/Eric Griffin. So check me out there on the Patreon, if you want to support the show further. Or you can even be a subscriber at Twitch. If you want to, you know, if you just want to support me and be like, hey, I want to help you out, you know, I like your content, you can go be a subscriber on Twitch too. And like I say, I do that daily, you know what I mean? So I'm on Twitch at Eric Griffin Gaming. So, you know, hit me with the follow there. All the stuff is down below in the description if you're interested in that. So, yeah, and all my major, the Workaholics boys, half of them are coming, you know. Because one of them has to work and the other one is going to another wedding. And it's like that kind of stuff happens too, you know. So like I really have no attachment to it in terms of like, if you can't come, you can't come. You know, that's just, it's like, great. Just give me a good gift. That's been my thing. You can't come, just bring me a good gift. So, but anyway, that's the wedding planning. So last week's episode, I was talking about, you know, the purchase of Twitch. Got a lot of feedback on that, man. So much feedback from people, you know, with their own opinions about like why Elon bought Twitch and not Twitch, Twitter, why he bought Twitter and like what it means and why he did it. And did he spend too much money or what he's buying? And everybody had their opinions and it was great. But I do want to say I did get one response from someone from something that I said. So, you know, as I was talking about Twitter, and something that Musk said himself is that he wants to verify that each person is a real person. So my thing with that, I added to that by saying, like, I think that, yeah, everybody, you should know who everyone is. And I was saying, like, you should be able to, like, go to their profile and see their name. That's who that is, you know, as a way of, like, maybe a deterrent to trolling, or maybe holding people accountable for what they say. But somebody hit me with some pushback on this that I didn't even consider. And it was actually a sex worker, you know, somebody that, you know, works in the sex field. And she said, well, I don't want my name. You know, my Twitter is, you know, or whatever their social media is their, you know, fake name. And they wouldn't want their real name there. And, you know, I never even considered that. And there's probably other reasons for people to be hidden, not just to be a troll or a coward. So, you know, I can understand that. But that being said, I still think that the company itself, maybe it's not public. It shouldn't be public, but it should be there though. So on your Twitter profile, the private part of the privacy part between you and the company, your name should be there. So they still should be able to know who you are. So if some disparaging things happen, or maybe even something happens to a sex worker that we don't know, you know, maybe the only way she could get away from her assailant was like she tweeted out, help me, you know what I mean? And the guy took the phone, you know, and then we could, you know, the Twitter could be like, oh, that's Sarah such and such from Alabama, and let's send the police over there or something. I don't know. My point is, I'm just saying, I still think everyone should verify who they are on their social media. It doesn't necessarily have to be public, but people, I don't think anything should be anonymous when it comes to people putting out hate. They put out their opinion. If you're putting out your opinion, you're attacking people. Don't attack people unless you can put your name on it. That's what I say. So, but I do, like I said, I took some thought into that. So if you have a good comment or a thing you want to send me, you know, hit me up in the DMs and stuff, like, hey, but just be thoughtful with your thing. Give me a food for thought, or even in the comments, because I will look at the comments to check out, you know, what people are saying out here in these streets. So, you know, and there was quite a bit of comments on this last episode 182 about Elon and my NBA preview, NBA playoffs, and then Winning Time, the show Winning Time. So I did get quite a few really good comments. You know, so if you, like I say, anytime you want to have something to say, just go into the comments, because I do look at them. You know, people always say, don't look at the comments, but, you know, this is part of the show. So, like, I'm imploring you to please, like, you don't have to be a rude asshole. Just, you know, hey, you like, it's okay to disagree. Just write it out. Like, I disagree. And by the way, too, I think that it also would be helpful is if you disagree with something, give your take. You can't just be like, oh, you're an idiot. You don't know how business works. And then that's it. Just be like, I don't need that part. You could just explain it. Since you know how business works, you know what I mean? Just explain how business works. And then we can, you know, we can move from there. It doesn't have to be this whole, like, attacking me. I don't know why people love to attack, but whatever. It is what it is. All right, let's get into one of the things I wanted to get into this episode, which is this crazy Met Gala. You know, what is that, dude? So Jared Leto, once again, like, looking like a crazy person, man. I don't know what that is. What is that? Like, I don't even know. I don't know what to even say, man. I didn't even know what it was. So I actually went to, I didn't even know what the Met Gala was. So I went to, you know, Wikipedia. Did you guys even know what the Met Gala was? So apparently, the Met Gala, formerly called the Costume Institute Gala or the Costume Institute Benefit, is an annual fundraising gala held for the to benefit of the Metropolitan Museum of Arts Costume Institute in New York. It's popularly regarded as the world's most prestigious fashion event and is highly sought after celebrities from various fields such as fashion, film, television, music, sports, and social media are generally invited to the gala organized by the American fashion magazine Vogue. I never knew any of that, you know? I didn't know what. So, because up to this point, you know, and then I see that, and I'll end the poll now. People said, I said, without Googling, do you know what the Met Gala is about? And so 67% of you were like, no. And I totally get that. I've never, how would anyone know that? So here's like, so Jared Leto, like, and then if you remember freaking last year, this dude showed up with a head. You know what I mean? He had like a red dress on and he showed up with a head. Like what? Like, so I get, but I guess now that I have a better understanding of what this is about, the Fashion Institute in conjunction with Vogue magazine, because up to this point, you know, you kind of see it and then like there's sort of like this weird attitude towards it where people are like, oh, it's just rich people showing off and whatever. But apparently this is like, you know, one of these things for the arts, which I think is important, by the way. I think supporting the arts is important. I think that's important in society. I think it's important for schools. I think it's important for young people to be involved in arts. I mean, yes, there's plenty of things you can like, you know, there's plenty of things that you could have a foundation for or have a fundraiser for or donate or, you know what I mean? But charity causes, you know, there's plenty of homeless and all that kind of stuff you can do. But I think this kind of stuff is important too. So once you get bogged down into the, like the logistics of, or the morality or the good and bad of like what you should be doing, you know, charities for whatever, you know, there's charities out there for whatever. And if you, you know, just give money to wherever you want. But, you know, this is one of these things that like, I still just don't get it, man. I just don't get it. Like if you look at some of like the people that were at the Met Gala, so like who, like look at some of these outfits, man. You know what I mean? Like if you look above me there's like, who's that now? That's what's her face, Billie Eilish. It's like, damn, dude. You know, of course Lizzo, she gotta be crazy. Like, I don't know, is that a wand that she has? Like, what does she have on, man? I don't get this. Oh, and of course, like, you know, Rihanna, and like, what's her dude got? Is he wearing a quilt? Is that a quilt? What is that? Oh, wow, look at them, dude. Like, how do you decide this? And like, do these people, are they invited, or do they have to pay to go? And that's part of the, what do you call it, the charity? Is that part of the fundraiser that you invite all these people to go and then they I don't know, you know what I mean? Oh, thank you, Jesse, for the $20. I appreciate the super chat. You know, you guys, if you want a super chat, you'd be more than happy, I'd be more than willing to accept your super chat. But anyways, I don't know what that is. All right, this one seems to be, I love this. Like, this is like, what's his face? What's that guy's name? Why am I forgetting this guy's name? You know, fucking whatever his name is. I'm terrible with names all of a sudden. Like, all of a sudden, I don't know anybody's name. Ryan Reynolds. You know, like, that's, now this one, I go, okay, I get it. You know, and even that outrageous outfit his lady has on is like, what the hell is that? But it's kind of cool. You know what I mean? Like, that's pretty cool. But then you have some other people where you just go like, what? Like what is this? Like, what? Where would you wear this? I don't know. Like, anytime I see high fashion, like, anytime Rachel goes to a fashion show and she comes back and she sends me pictures, and I just go, who's wearing this? Who's wearing this stuff, man? Like, I just don't get it, man. I don't get it, right? And, you know, it's like, what is the purpose? Oh, my God. Like, look at this chick, man. Like Lizzo is just bananas, dude. Oh, let's look at these Met Gala photos. Yeah, this is better. I mean, that looks nice. I mean, is that Hillary Clinton? Hillary Clinton's there? Look, wow. Damn. And then here's, well, if you're just listening right now, I guess that's terrible for the people listening. Because they don't get to see the things I'm looking at. And there's Pete Davidson with Kim Kardashian, man. I guess Pete Davidson is living the dream, huh? You know, Pete Davidson, man. I mean, I guess, you know what's funny is I remember when Pete was just like, just starting out doing comedy. I remember I was doing like the New Jersey Comedy Club, and Pete was the opener. You know, I just met him. They hired him to be, you know, and I was like, hey, man, you know, I met him a few times, and he's just a cool dude. He was really like, you know, a little introverted at the time. And then now he's like superstar. Like, he's like, I think he's like an A-list celebrity, man. And I'm here doing my little podcast. I'm not invited to the Met Gala. That's why I always say, man, when you're coming up, it's good to try to be good to people no matter what level they're at. Like, I always say, today's PAs, that's a production assistant, like on a set. Like, if you're on a set, man, be nice to the production assistants, because today's production assistant is tomorrow's executive producer, you know? Like, so you got to really, like, you know, be nice to people. Or at least be like respectful. Show some respect. You know, you don't have to like be fake, but give them their due, because the next thing you know, bam, there you are. You know, so yeah, some of these outfits, man, it was crazy. Freaking Russell Westbrook. I don't know what he was wearing. Like, Russell Westbrook had on like a top hat. He looked like a crazy person. But that's this generation. I mean, you know, I guess this is the good of social media. I mean, this is, like I say, if you believe this is a great cause, then, you know, here you are. But there's a lot of unconventional, like, crashing the gender norms at these things now. That seems to be, like, the new thing. Men wearing dresses and women, like, putting mustaches on their face. Like, look at this chick. She's got, like, you know, she's got a mustache on her face. Jessie Buckley. I don't even know who that is. You guys know who some of these people are? Like, I don't even know who any of these people are. Then there's like all this fantastic jewelry that they have on, and all this, like, you know, all this sort of weirdness that's going on at the Met Gala, man. So I don't know. I just thought it was kind of, I thought it was kind of weird. And when I saw this Jared Leto outfit, I just thought, like, it is, imagine him getting ready. Like, did he get ready at home? You know, did he get ready? Was there like a room and the people that made that for him brought him, and then he just walked out and presented himself? Like, imagine like you're talking to him over by the punch, and you're just like, hey, how you doing? Like, what do you say? Like, that's the conversation all night. It's like, hey, this, wow, hey, Jared, what the hell? You know, like, what do you even talk about? They wouldn't want me at something like this, because I would just be walking around like, what? What the hell you got on, fool? Yeah, they would kick me out. They would completely kick me out. Yeah, that's Jared Leto, man. Like, it's just bananas, right? I guess it is. I don't know. I mean, everybody's putting it up on their Instagram and that kind of stuff, and like making weird jokes about it. So I have no idea. I have no freaking idea, man. But the whole thing is, the whole thing's bananas, dude. But anyway, guys, let's talk about one of the sponsors of the show, Helix Sleep. Helix Sleep. I love Helix Sleep. I have a Helix Sleep mattress, and I'm just telling you right now, I think you should get one too. Like, anytime I go to the health place, they always talk about sleep. They say sleep is the most important thing. So, you know, exercising and being healthy is important, but another thing that's going to help you is having the proper mattress. Sleeping on a terrible mattress, it can mess up your whole thing. It hurts your neck. It hurts your back. Helix Sleep. Look, they got a quiz. You take the 2-minute sleep quiz. You complete it, and they matches you to your body type and sleep preference. And they send you the best mattress that's perfect for you. If you're big boned, you're a big person, they got a mattress for you. You're a side sleeper, they got a mattress for you. If you combinations of these things, they'll figure out the mattress for you. I'm a side sleeper, so you know it's got to be a certain way for me, and it is, and I love it completely. I took the quiz. I'm a side sleeper, and they got it for me. So if you're looking for a mattress, you take the quiz, you order the mattress, and they match it to you, and the mattress comes right to your door, shipped for free. You don't ever have to go to the mattress store again. Helix is awesome, but just don't take my word for it. They were the number one overall mattress pick in 2020 by GQ and Wired magazine. Just go to helixsleep.com/griffin. Take their 2-minute sleep quiz, and they'll match you to the customized mattress that will give you the best sleep of your life. They have a 10-year warranty, and you get to try it out for 100 nights risk-free. They'll even pick it up for you, but I'm pretty sure you'll love it. Helix is offering up to $200 off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners at helixsleep.com/griffin. Boom. All right, guys. So last week I talked about that show Winning Time on HBO Max. I'm still watching it, and I still feel the same way. I think all that nonsense is distracting. I think making it look like the 70s is super distracting. It's like the reasons why things in the 70s look like that is because the technology was shitty. So they had to have it look like that. We got 4K and better cameras now. I just have the show look like normal, like we're, you know what I mean? So I don't like that. I still don't like that. But because of that process, and thank you, Jagged Deep, I can see you're asking a lot of questions with your super chats, you know what I mean? So, apparently it's not Jared Leto. Well, whatever. Everybody's saying it's Jared Leto, so we were going with it. Basically, my whole thing is the Met Gala's crazy. But anyways, I watched the Winning Time, and like I say, I don't like it, and it's because of the things we know about Magic Johnson. But that led me to look at the Magic Johnson documentary, which is on Apple TV, and I want to talk about that right now. The Magic Johnson documentary, man. It's actually pretty interesting. And I almost feel like Magic Johnson saw, or I don't know how quickly they put this together. Maybe it was already in the works, right? But, you know, after the Jordan documentary came out, and it was fabulous, this 10-part, you know, thing about Jordan, and it really, like, you remember how great he was, and you know, and it was obviously it was like almost like a commercial for him and his brand, and like, and he, you know, he decided what everything that was going to be in it, and so yes, it made him look like a superhero that we thought he was anyway. But it was a pretty fascinating documentary. We got, you know, and people were talking about it after, and there was some people had trouble with it. Some people were like, oh boy, that I didn't like that you talked about this. Like him and Scottie Pittman are probably never going to talk again. Okay. After that documentary. So, you know, there's things like that, man, that came from it. But you had a better sense of who Michael Jordan is, even if he himself didn't want this impression of him to be out there. You know, you still had a sort of like, wow, this guy's really arrogant. You had like a narcissistic thing about it. And that's probably not what he wanted, but it came across that way. But he approved it, right? So you learned something. So anyway, Magic, they call me Magic. It's on Apple TV. And, you know, I was young. Like, I knew Magic Johnson later in my life. I was born in 72. So all this stuff was kind of going on. So I wasn't really a fan of basketball. And I actually didn't start really being a fan of basketball until I was like late, like early teens, you know, in high school, starting to think about playing basketball because I had a big growth spurt. And I was like, oh, I guess I can play basketball at my small high school. So that's when I really started getting into basketball and watching it. And then Michael Jordan like came on the scene and it was like, whoa. You know, I remember watching the Celtics. I remember watching the NBA playoffs and I wasn't really a basketball fan. And it was that game that Jordan scored 63 points and I was mesmerized. I was looking at the TV like, God damn, this dude can ball. And it just was like, man, like this guy's superhuman. And it was just was amazing to watch. So, and then like I live in LA and then people are talking about the Lakers. And so I would watch, like I remember watching the game. I remember watching the Lakers-Celtics when Magic hit that little baby hook to win the championship. And then I briefly like saw like when like it was Magic versus Isaiah Thomas and I saw, you know, that. And then it was like, then it just all became about Jordan after that. And then of course, Magic Johnson, you know, the thing I remember being in high school and like, you know, Magic Johnson has HIV. And so then all you remember of Magic Johnson in the last 20 years is that he has HIV and he survived it and he's a businessman and like it's all his post-basketball career. But this documentary really lets you see the impact that he had on the basketball community and how great he was. And just like his personality, like, you know, he was Michael Jordan before Michael Jordan, you know, in terms of his like reach and presence and markability. So this documentary really delves into it. It shows his family life and it shows his rise as this like high school basketball phenom and how, you know, 9,000 people would come watch him play basketball in high school as a 15-year-old. And he was getting 30 points, 20 rebounds, 15 assists, 10 steals. He was having games like that in high school. And then he was from Michigan. And then he went to Michigan State. And then you had like Larry Bird, the Great White Hope at the time when racism and racism was more prevalent then, but the race sort of like indirect race war that was still going on where, you know, especially in a sport, and the NBA wasn't very popular in the 70s and mid 70s. It was really what Magic and Bird reinvigorated the NBA and made it like a thing along with, you know, Dr. Buss, the late great Dr. Buss, the Lakers owner, him making Showtime, him saying, hey, let's sell entertainment, not just basketball. And so Magic Johnson was at the forefront of that. He had this big smile and he had this like, you know, big personality and he just was a fantastic basketball player. And then he like led the Lakers to like, you know, phenomenal. Magic went to 9 championships. You hear what I'm saying? He went to 9 championships. And I don't think he gets enough credit as being the like just a winner. And this documentary is great. It you know, it shows like from his own, like he gets to brag a little bit, you know? He gets to talk about how he felt and like what he loved about basketball. And it was really interesting to see him talk about Larry Bird and how like they had this real love-hate relationship. You know, it was fascinating to see him, Magic, talk about when he first went to the championship. So they won the championship against the Sixers, right? And that's when Kareem got hurt in the finals and Magic, you know, he had 45 points and like it was one of the greatest finals games ever to this day. And the next time he got to the championship, he was playing against Larry Bird. And the Lakers had never beaten the Celtics in the championship. And so he choked. And I started to like remember the feelings that I felt. I started to be like, oh yeah, I remember this. It was like Magic choked. Like I remember that. And he's talking about it. And you can see him in the documentary how he's talking about it, that he's really feeling it still. And he said, even right now as I talk about this, I feel it. And it's like, man, to be that competitive that, you know, you're long retired, your athletic career has been long over. Some people don't even know you as a basketball player. And he was feeling it like it was just happening. And it was fascinating. And then he talked about, like, you saw in the documentary, they had all these pictures and footage of him from college and high school and how him and Isaiah Thomas were, like, super close. It was they had this really close friendship. And then when the Lakers played the Pistons in the championship, Magic like hard fouled Isaiah and then he says it on the documentary. And I was so glad that Isaiah was also on this documentary. But Magic said, like, we were never friends again. He was like, that ended our friendship. And it was like, I don't know. It was both tragic and fantastic at the same time, in a sense that, like, if you want to be an ultimate, if you want to win, if you want to achieve, there are so many sacrifices that you have to make, that maybe when you look at it and you ask yourself, is achieving the ultimate thing inherently good? Like, is that the best thing you could possibly do? And sometimes it's not, because it comes at the sacrifice of your family and friendships and so much stuff. And then he's talking about his wife to be Cookie Johnson, and how, and she's in the documentary talking about, like, how he postponed the marriage, and he, you know, and he was just, you know, being real about, like, yeah, he was like messing around and, you know, having relationships all over. And I've only watched the first two episodes. It's a four-parter, and I'm sure he's going to get into, like, you know, the news about him having HIV, and I can't wait to see that. And maybe I'll talk about it next week when I finish watching it. But, you know, man, it just was so fascinating. And then they did some good, like, movie making techniques of, like, you know, they had time jumps. So, like, the on screen, it would go in reverse, and then you got the idea that, oh, he's talking about now they're going backwards, and he would go back to high school and say, like, hey, this is when I knew I wanted to do this and that. And, like, so if you have Apple TV, I do highly recommend the Magic Johnson documentary. It was really good. It's really good. I'm in the middle of it right now, and it's really good. And it really just makes me, you know, give him, that's probably the point of it too, because if you're the star of a documentary, you know, it's a narrative that you're trying to put out there. And I think Magic Johnson wants to remind people, like, yo, I was great. You know, like, RIP to the late, great Kobe Bryant, right? And I know there are people out there, and it's just because you're a younger generation, and you're like, oh, man, Kobe Bryant's the greatest Laker. And I know Magic said that, but I don't think Magic really believed it, especially after watching this documentary. Magic went to the championship 9 times, okay? 9 times. Magic's the greatest Laker ever, man. He just is, you know. And so many people were talking about him, and then it's like, you know, it's like they're talking about the race stuff, and they're talking about, like, you know, it was pretty amazing. Like I say, it's a pretty amazing documentary, and I for sure give it, like, some Yeah, so the Magic Johnson documentary gets, like, a bunch of woo-woos, because I think it's totally worth the watch, y'all. Totally worth the watch, okay? If anybody has any comments or questions about it, if you, like, you know, if you saw it yourself and, you know, you have something to say, you know, put it out there. If you don't think Magic's the greatest Laker ever, you know, let me know. Let me know what you think about that, all right? Okay, so now let's get into a segment that I haven't done in a long ass time, and I really look forward to doing it because I haven't done it in a while, and that is real world advice from a grown ass man. Okay, so first up, and actually before I even get into that, hold on. Let me get rid of these. I'm doing this all by myself. First, I want to say this. I'm just giving you some common sense advice, you know, from me. I'm a 50-year-old man and giving you some life advice. That's all. I'm not an expert. I don't claim to be. If you have real problems out there, if you are struggling out there and you're dealing with some depression or some serious clinical things, I really do highly suggest you get some therapy. Therapy is really important. It really can be helpful. It can really help you organize your thoughts with a professional that recognizes patterns. And actually, they're not even a sponsor today, but I say go to betterhelp.com/Griffin. You know what I mean? go to betterhelp.com/Griffin. There it is right there. And if you want to get some help, or go to anywhere that you want to go. You don't have to go to mine. You can go to anywhere you want to go. But I do suggest you get that. So some of these are just fun, light ones, and some of them get sort of heavy. But, you know, I just give you my thoughts and experience, and that's all that this is. I don't claim to be an expert. I'm just giving you, like I say, some real-world advice. You know, that's all that is, all right? All right, so first up, and this time I kept some of them anonymous because people asked me to, because I used to like put that you could see their names. And this is from my Instagram. You know, people put their questions up on Instagram. I put a question thing, and so these are the things that come up, and they're always in their private. So first up, what do you do when someone says they want to be just friends, but you still have feelings? Funny, because I talked about this on King and the Sting today too, on one of the episodes of King and the Sting. I'm not sure which one it was. I think it was Patreon, but I don't know. But anyways, I'm going to talk about it here on Riffin' with Griffin. Let me say it again. What do you do when someone says they want to be friends, but you still have feelings? Here's the thing, man. No one has to be in the friend zone. No one. If someone comes to you, if someone's in your life that you are interested in, and you make your intentions known, and they say, well, hey, I just want to be friends, your response can be, no, I don't want to be your friend. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with you putting out there like, hey, yeah, I'm not trying to be your friend. I have feelings for you. And now if that person's like, well, I don't have feelings for you, now you guys can decide what you're going to do next. You're either not going to talk anymore, or you're going to have some serious boundaries that you need to set. But you don't have to hide your feelings. You don't have to pretend like you don't have feelings. And then also, don't pretend like you're being somebody's friend. Like, if your intention isn't to be that person's friend, they should know that. Because maybe that person is like, oh, this person's my friend, and they're being nice, and this is why they're sending me messages, you know, hey, thinking about you, and all the stuff that you do when you're courting someone. You know what I mean? And it's like, come on. Let your intentions be known. It's totally fine. It's totally okay to be like, hey, this is what I would like. And then that person now they can have to be in a position to be like, all right, I have to like act accordingly too. So now you know. Then they can set boundaries that they want. And now they know what the energy is that you are saying. Like if you, like, you know what I mean? Like if you're hitting somebody up at a certain time and it's in a certain way, they'll read that now and know, oh, they're interested in me. So now let me respond accordingly. It's like, you know what I mean? And then at the same time, if it makes you uncomfortable, if someone has told you, hey, I want to be more, and you just don't want to be more, now you could be like, all right, and I'm sorry. You can't be like, oh, well, I'm losing this friendship that really means a lot to me. That person is only making you feel that way anyway because they're trying to get with you. And you know what I mean? So communication is key. I think that is the most important thing. Communicate your intentions so you can be on the same page. So you know what your boundaries are, all right? That's what I say to that. And good luck. All right, let's go to the next one. Oh, that's not what we want. Sorry. Let's get rid of that. And boom. All right, here we go. Wanting to change careers, I'm 28, and I want to explore other paths and try out different business ideas. I've had this question like so many times, actually, and I think about it. Just do it, man. I've said this before. I'll say it again. If you want to change careers, don't let the fear stop you. But the thing you have to do is plan it out. That's when, because a lot of times we're scared because I'm changing careers, but I have to pay my rent. I have to pay my house note. I have to pay my, I have my Netflix subscription. I have this and that and that. And when you're thinking you're going to change careers, you're starting to think about your loss of income. And like, and then also you might be insecure. You might be like, oh, can I do this? It's like, you know, that's why the planning is important. So it's like, if you know, all right, in a year, I'm going to change careers. So in the meantime, I need to save money. I need to set myself up where I could not work for 6 months or not make the same kind of money while I'm chasing this dream, while I'm trying to achieve this other thing. Have confidence in yourself and your skills, especially if it's something that like you went to school for, or it's something that you feel confidently, I could get this done. Don't let life get in the way. Don't let the choices that you've made to gather belongings and things and places, don't let that stuff get in the way of you achieving more down the line. So set it up, plan it out. Because once you plan it out and you have your goals set and you set yourself up, you're going to feel confident that you could get it done. Because I got this amount of money in the bank. I got this thing set up. I've made these contacts. So it's like, do that stuff while you're in the current career and set yourself up for success. Good luck. Wait, got that one already? Okay, that's this one. All right. Okay, let's go to the next one. Boom. All right, here we go. I'm afraid to love, trust again. They say shooters shoot, but I can't seem to pull the trigger. All right, there's a lot of subtext to this one, and I feel like this person is saying, I'm afraid to love or trust because their love and their trust was broken by somebody. So this kind of similar to the last one in a sense that this is all about time and planning. One thing I will say to people is this, like if you've been hurt, don't close yourself off. I know it's easier said than done because this is what ends up happening. People close themselves off to other relationships for a while because they've been hurt, because their trust has been broken, because, and then now they're sitting here thinking, well, everybody's going to do this to me. And then they wait. And then one person comes along that sort of makes you feel like, oh, I can trust and love again. But what ends up happening then is it's a lot of pressure on that relationship. And when that one doesn't work, now you're like, oh no, what I'm saying to do is that was just one person. You are not wrong for being vulnerable. You are not wrong for opening yourself up, for allowing someone in. That person was just immature and they broke your trust. That person did. Not everyone is going to do that. So now moving forward, you just plan it out more now. Maybe now you don't sleep with the next person right away. Maybe you go, well, I need to know more about this person. Let's say like you found out the person was broke and they were lying to you for a while, making you think something else. So maybe now you want to be like, I want to know more about this person before I actually, you know, dive full in. You know what I mean? We have to, before we dive full in on something, you know what I'm saying? So that's all that takes. It's just a little bit more time now. But what I'm saying is don't shut yourself off. Stay out there. Just have your guard up. You shouldn't stop dating. To me, it means date more. Find, like, go out casually with this person, with that person, with this person, and just kind of get to know people. Like, even if it's superficial at first. Oh, I like this person's job. Oh, I like what that person does. Oh, I like the conversation with this person. So you can see, oh, I actually like a lot of different things. And then the person that has a number of things that you like might present themselves. But you've allowed more people into your life that, you know that it's possible. That, you know what, I'm going to try with this person. Oh, that person hurt me. But you'd be like, you know what, that's just the odds. That's one more person. But now there's all these other people. So stay out there. Keep yourself growing and expanding. Keep yourself, you know, working on you, being the best version of yourself. And that's not by being closed off. You know, it's by actually being open. And just be cautious. But don't just close yourself off, because that's how you'll trust again, by having small trusts. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, this person said they'll be there at 8 o'clock. They were. I went on 2 dates with this person and they were dependable. Like, add to your list of things. Like, have a bare minimum. You should have a minimum standard, you know? Have a minimum standard. The person got to have a job. They got to have a place to stay. They got to have a car. Maybe that's your minimum standards. Maybe for your minimum standards are even higher. Maybe somebody's like, they have to have a college degree. They have to have a career. They have to have a house. whatever you make your minimum standard, make it and then look for it. You'll find a lot of it, and then you'll add more to it because you'll be like, oh, they're really nice. Oh, they're really good looking. They're really good looking and nice. Oh, they're super funny. You know, whatever your things are, but get out there, expand. Don't just stay on your ass, okay? I'm telling you, because there's people out there who are going to surprise you, all right? Okay, let us go to the next one. And thank you for the super chats. Janine, we got to have you as a grown man guest on Lifeline. Hey, I'm ready. Let me know. I'm ready to go. And thank you, Jagdeep. You're really going in right now. I really appreciate you. Great advice. My wife's here and loves what you're saying. All right, thank you. Shout out to your wife. All right. Thank you both. All right, next one. This is the next one. How do I deal with being the funny guy? Sometimes I wish people would ask how I'm doing. Man, I can relate to this one. I'm going to tell you a story with this one. When I was in high school, I'd never played basketball before. So I started playing basketball my sophomore year. And then my junior year, I'm playing basketball. And I remember I was the funny guy. You know, everybody's, oh, he's the funny guy. And so people would think they could say whatever they want to you. They don't care about your feelings. When you're the funny guy, people think that you're always funny and you know, it's a weird thing. So I remember I was up and down with the basketball. I didn't know how to play. I was trying. It wasn't my thing. So I was a junior, then I was on the JV team. But then I got pulled up to the varsity team and it was a Rocky. My coach, rest his RIP to him, Mr. Terry Matthews. He recently died, struggled with his health for a long time, but he was a solid man. He was the dean of students and the basketball coach, and he taught me discipline. He was a great, great man. But his people skills, when it came to the basketball, he would yell at you, man. He would get in your face. I remember after a game crying. He went off on us so much. We didn't play well. Cut to, I remember it was the basketball awards ceremony, the awards banquet. And he said everybody, he had a certificate for everybody. And then I remember he got to me. He forgot. And he was like, oh, yes, and Eric. And I was the clown. I was the fun guy. And I remember him saying he said oh, you know what? I was looking for somebody from the JV team to put on the bench, to sit on the varsity bench, you know, because I was sitting on the bench a lot, right? So he thought that was a funny thing to say in front of everybody's family and friends, and that Eric, the funny clown guy, was fine. That hurt me. I remember that. I remember that really getting to me and being like, damn. But I went up there and I was like, you know what I mean? I got up and I was like, yep, that's me. You know, and I grabbed the certificate. And I remember I left the certificate on the table. And that summer, I told my mom, I got to go to basketball camp. I said, I got to go to basketball camp. And then I remember the new Mr. Matthews retired, and this new coach was going to be the coach. And he said some messed up stuff to me too, he's like, oh, you trying out for the team? And who do you think's better, me or this other kid that was trying out? And he said that to me. And it was after the banquet. And I was like, nope. Told my mom, I need to go to camp, basketball camp. And my mom was like, okay, go to basketball camp. So I found this basketball camp and I went to it. And it was big man camp. And I learned a lot about basketball. But I came back and I was ready. And I busted my ass my senior year. And I was all league that year. And I got my name in. At the time, you can get your name in the paper if you scored 20 points in a game. And I got my name in the paper three or four times. But it was a kind of thing where I was like, oh, man, I wish I had said something later. I wish I had gone up to him, not in that moment, but later and said, hey, man, that kind of hurt my feelings. You know, that you said that in front of all these people, you embarrassed me and I didn't like it. And I think that's how you have to deal with it sometimes, is you just have to let people know how you feel. You know, I have to do that with Rachel sometimes. She likes to joke with me. She was making a joke, when she's mad at me, she'll say I don't know why I'm marrying you, you know, but she'll say it as a joke and she'll say it in a joking way. And, you know, and she'll say it, we were last night, she said it a bunch of times. So I said to her, I said, hey, babe, sometimes I need you to say why you also want to marry me, because I like to hear that too. And she got it because she said, oh, I'm sorry. You know, she was like, oh, I'm sorry. And then we had a talk. But it's like important. Like, it's important. So like, if you're the funny guy, I think it's important for you to, you know, let people know that there's another side to you, because we're also can be annoying. You know, when you're the funny guy, you're sometimes annoying as hell because you're always being funny, and you find, you know, and sometimes you find situations where it's like, maybe I need to put some levity here. And sometimes that annoys people. So you also want to let them know, hey, I'm not just that guy. I'm also a guy that I feel. I feel sadness. I feel happiness. I feel a lot of different things. And I just want to let you know that. So that's what I suggest that you do. Anybody that gets pigeonholed into, people say that you're a certain kind of personality, you know, even if you're like somebody who people say you're serious all the time. Oh, this person's, you know, man, you're always serious. Don't you ever smile? Sometimes you want to let them know, like, hey, yeah, I do. I have feelings too. You know what I mean? You know, just communicate. Communication is the key with this one. So good luck. And I hope that answered your question. All right, well, let's keep going. I think I got two more, y'all. All right, here we go. Let's see. Oop, I get this one out. All right, that one's gone. Oh, wait, no, I did that one already. Oh, I think there's only one more then. Yeah, there's only one more, I think. Let's see. Yeah, wait, I'm fucking, you know, doing this all by myself, so I get confused. Here we go. Last one. I'm having difficulty moving on with the end of a 20-year friendship. Any advice? I mean, damn. I feel it. It sounds to me like you didn't want this friendship to end, but I don't know all the details. But this happens sometimes. People grow apart. Things change. We get other people in our lives, you know? We get relationships in our lives. We get... you know, you get kids, or you get a new job, or you have to move, and these kinds of things happen. But if it is something that you had a disagreement, if it was a disagreement, and I'm just going to assume that for a second, that you had a thing that happened and you're having difficulty with the end of the friendship, then don't let it end. My question to you is this, and this is for everybody listening to, and anybody in a situation like this. Do you want to be right, or do you want your friend? You have to ask yourself that. And it is about being the bigger person. And it's not about being the bigger person in the sense that you're looking bad on that person. It's just about doing the right thing in the moment so you can keep your friend. So it's like, look at yourself. If you're in a disagreement with someone and you feel like you're right, really take a look at yourself and be like, all right, well, what can I do to make this better? Could I see this other person's point of view? Make the effort that you need to make to see if you can salvage your friendship. If you can't, then have solace in the fact that you gave it your best effort and it didn't work out. Remember the good times, cherish that, and you got to move on. You got to better yourself by getting other people in your life and just working on personal growth. Personal growth is the best way to kind of like manage your feelings when you're dealing with whatever you're dealing with. And that is like working out, improving your time, improving your job, putting better efforts into other things in your life like hobbies and relationships. And because you're not going to forget. You're not going to forget, but you don't want to let it hold you back. So, you know, it's about getting control of those feelings and channeling them into something more productive. But I hope that works out, and I really wish you the best, okay? I really wish you the best, y'all. And that has been, y'all, real world advice from a grown-ass man, okay? There it is. Real world advice from a grown ass man. Look at me with the graphics, huh? Huh? With the graphics, y'all? I'm working it out. I told you I would. And I'm in talks with somebody to like really come in and help me on a regular basis. Ladies and gentlemen, that has been a another episode of your favorite podcast, Riffin with Griffin. Please, as I say, subscribe, share, you know, do all that good stuff for me. Hit the notifications. I'm on Twitch daily, so check me out there. Patreon content coming your way, so if you want there, or if you just want to support, you can also just join Patreon just for that, or you can sub on Twitch, or you can become a YouTube member. YouTube members also get the exclusive content, so check me out there too. I appreciate you guys as always. Thank you for the comments. If you go to my Instagram, if you go to my Instagram story, I am answering a lot of the questions that I get. I do, like, you know, videos, and I have typed responses to a bunch of the questions that are there. So if you want to see some of the responses there, I'm sorry that I can't get to everybody's response, but like I say, I'm not a freaking full-time therapist, so it is what it is. I'm not a therapist at all. So, but thank you very much for watching Riffin' with Griffin, and I appreciate you guys, and have a wonderful week. See you next week. Griffin, thank you for the super chat.